Blog Talk Radio. Beat to Spaniel.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a symbol, like, and be like, like a bottle of Hennessy now. A bottle of Hennessy with some wings on it. Well, that's big too right there. Nah, I don't know. I don't even drink. People out there that know me probably like, he don't even drink like that. Why would he say a bottle of Hennessy? Because it's the metaphor. It's the metaphor. We in the building, Beast Stew Radio. You know how we do it. Every day, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow night's Kate Nicole's ladies' night. Don't know what she's doing tomorrow night. She'll come up with something. She'll let us know something via satellite, like she always do. It's going down. Shout out to my man, Mizarv Gotti. Free Marv Gotti. We in the building. That's what we in today. We on a Free Marv Gotti Thursday on the Underground Showcase. For those of y'all don't know who my man Marv Gotti is, he's one of the hottest cats in the game right now. Shout out to 129th Street, Lenox Avenue. Also shout out to 118th Street, 8th Avenue. So we gonna do it like this, no turning back.
Q Beats Production. Production.
Beast of Radio.
Yeah, man. It's Money Marv. Marv Gotti. Yeah. Whatever you niggas wanna call me, man. That nigga though. I'm in this bitch. Huh? Q, holla at me, nigga. No, we ain't faking jack. They push me pushing back. We get to cracking jack. Nigga, the cat the back. Streets keep calling while I'm smoking my weed. But QB can have me bowling in a bunch of different leagues. So, no, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack. Yo, nigga, my hard work paid off. I don't sell dreams, I'm Gotti, not made off. Got the green light from school, so now it's time to take off. When I decide to pump my brakes, that mean it's time to take off. I'm talking right now. Get comfortable and listen. I swung through them fucking jail doors on a mission. I made this shit happen, there was no time for wishing. I told my nigga Blaze, money keep these hoes tripping. Fucking with my older niggas, learn how to flip bucks. Make sure my money ride before I throw my chips up. Every day I get up, sipping like a dream. Cause I open doors for my niggas that we never seen. Went from walking through them halls. Stairs all pissy, now I'm moving in this game and they can never evict me. A low celebration, let the Henny get me tipsy. Cause they took me out the hood and I know them fiends miss me. No, we ain't faking jack. They push me pushing back. We get to tracking jack. Nigga, the captain back. Streets keep calling while I'm smoking my weed. But QB's gonna have me rolling in a bunch of different leagues. So, no, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack. Strap my seatbelt. I'm on the road to my money. No, I ain't looking back. And that's a fucking fact. My brain in the future. My body in the present, and I'm thinking more like a Maserati in the weapon. You just keep throwing me these consistent bodies that I'm checking. I'ma go get both some stacks on that Marv Gotti necklace. Tell to you, bring his cameras, we gon' make a fucking movie. I'm the center of attention, they watching what I'm doing. My buzz getting bigger, so they clocking when we moving. Trying to get that paper right, so we got options when we cruising. Patience got me paid, now conversations are cautious. Young nigga from Lenox Ave, making all these boss moves. Humble by my profit, anything extra, you keep it. No time for walking through precincts, depression just increases. When you slipping in these streets, and you spitting on these beats. When they act how I got it in the game,
I'm a beast.
No, we ain't faking jack. They push me pushing back. We get to tracking stack. Nigga, the captain back. Streets keep calling while I'm smoking my weed. But you beats can have me rolling in a bunch of different leagues. So, no, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. No, I ain't turning back. I'm in this booth just cooking crack.
Yeah. You hear that? Me. Get used to this. I'm signing home.
Haven't had only 80 years of living. So, you know, just got to keep it in mind. We in the building, Beast Dude Radio, doing what we do best, or day or night. Like I said, things are a little hectic. I know, if I remember, I think my man War Child, he's from up there in Westchester County, so, if I remember, I'm not correct. Well, I know he was chilling in Westchester County one time, and it might be a little hard for him to get through the day, but, you know, if not, you know, we definitely always be scheduled to artists, but he's, you know, hollered at his peoples today, and we all were just kicking it over, man, you know. I'm going to play another joint, man. Play one of his joints, matter of fact, man. Play this next joint. We're going to get into this joint, Drifting Away. Quick joint, come back. Talk about some more. I got some more hip-hop news, man, to bring out. And I know y'all probably spent the last couple of days, the DJ, political DJ, has been sounding real, like, down and out, sad on the joint. It's basically because, what we got going on here. I got friends and family, you know, all over New York, homeboys. My girl got friends and family all over New York, you know. And everybody, got friends and family over in New York going through things. So that's what it is, you know. So you just still got to stay steady, still do what you do. Make sure, you know, y'all call the Red Cross. But the Red Cross really would like you to donate. You know, they would like you to donate, give out the information on where people could get to them. One, and if you do can, donate money. So they don't really like what the fake Romney joint. Come and donate some cans, lying. They don't even want you to donate no cans and all that. They don't have no place for that. But we ain't going to get into that. But I just got so mad when I heard that, you know, that would have me so mad. But it's showing, the polls are showing. Obama's starting to get down. Big shout out to my man Compton Buck. He was on the show last week. Yeah, definitely give a great, big, giant shout out to man Bloomberg. Bloomberg has endorsed President Obama. That's a great thing. That's two big, great endorsements. Really, three big, great endorsements because, in a secret kind of way, Chris Christie kind of endorsed Obama too with all the great things both of them said about each other and what they're doing right now in a secret kind of way. And you see how people was changing on him, Chris Christie. You see how the Republicans, and he was the leader of them. He's definitely the one of them that speak his mind. And I guess the one time he spoke his mind that they don't like it, y'all see what happens with them. They can't even stand by one of the strongest men in their camp. And he even proved to be even a stronger man by even being bipartisan. And this has been Romney's whole campaign. I could go across the board where your team can't. Future One Night Stand, my man Compton Buck in the building. Let's get it.
I live my life like a superstar. Everywhere I go, all I know is go hard. Never go home cause I'm supercharged. To the max, having fun, playing my part. I can see the future, baby. I can see the future, baby. Can't you see the future, baby? Can't you see the future, baby? One night, one night. Still
look, I don't know your past, I see your future. I don't see a man. I don't even see a lamp, just one night stand. Let's get away, I can take you higher than a kite can. The different heights that lead you right and then your flight land. Yes, mommy, you're blessing, you got a beautiful landing strip. I love your smile, can't deny it, girl, I'm a fan of it. The candle's lit, no one died, but I'm a killer nookie. Ready to see the clouds, all you gotta do is book me. But after this trip, I need the jet. I'm a 757, I ain't seen the world yet. I stay with my passport, cause I can't go in a raw. If you don't see what I'm saying, take a peek at the crystal ball.
One night,
I live my life like a superstar. Probably darker than my shadow. Baby, I'm a soldier. I done been through some battles, so I prefer to take you down to kick rocks like gravel. Giddy up on my saddle, you straddle soon as you climb on. Don't know who we going, just ride me to a different time zone. Girl, I'ma leave your mind blown. It's only if you let me. You take the Coca-Cola shape like you don't drink Pepsi. Test me, you be calling begging for that thing next week. Why Playboy Buck be looking for the next freak? Yeah, I know it sound wrong. You feel how I feel. Put your hands up and sing along. Go.
I saw her coming. One night stand.
Somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me.
Alright?
You got a dream, you gotta protect it. People can't do something themselves, they wanna tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
Always looking at you. He's always watching. You know, every time feel something, all of a sudden you, the music just come on. His theme song comes on. Doom, 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 doom. Doom, 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 doom. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Yep. Yo, you know when the Republicans lose, don't they get real mad? They start lying. Them dudes are some spoiled, rich, spoiled, sore losers. I never seen some grown men and women. I mean, they create everything in the world. They change on their own boy. They change on Chris Christie for being honest. For being honest. So obviously, honesty don't go in that thing. You know? Honesty don't go in that thing. You can't be honest. I think the Republicans party is getting shooken up to where you can't even understand it. You know what I'm saying? They can't even understand it. Check this out. Get it out. Making it rain on them hoes some more. Oprah got her own on the Huffer. Got her own on the Huffington Post. Now, y'all heard some, what that means? What are you talking about, Stu? Oprah got her own. Some of y'all think I don't like Oprah. I like Oprah. I think Oprah is a real positive lady. I just don't like some of the things she do. No. Or some of the things she has said. You know, I think she should have been a little bit, especially like in the beginning with Jay-Z, but she gets got on her, you know, the Huffington Post delighted that the Huffington Post is partnering up with Oprah Winfrey's own TV, even though she was on TV for decades, that Oprah was made for internet. We say Oprah's having a good year. She's made it on the cover of Forbes. Her own network has recovered with a record-breaking ratings, and she is in cahoots with HBO's for a new drama series. What more could have possibly happened in 2007? And you know what Oprah text email tweeted back? Launch day. The beginning of a brand new section of on the Oprah Winfrey Network that's on, you know what I'm saying, on one of the most respected, energizing digital platforms worldwide, the Huffington Post. Yep. So Oprah's blowing up. That Oprah's going internet. She's going viral. So, big shouts to Oprah. No, so we got another thing here today that I want to talk about. Got trends. I want to talk about trends that cats try to do. And hold on. The man from upstairs is in the building. What's good, brother? What's good, brother?
All
right.
I'm good, man. Can you hear me clear?
Yeah, I hear you real clear, man.
All right, that's what's up, man. Yeah, man, just, you know, trying to figure out when everybody going to get their power back, man. A little crazy out here.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you're there, man. I want you to tell us about your area, man, because I know your area has been hit crazy hard.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's the way it is, like most places, you know, the power grids are like sectioned off.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one part of the neighborhood with light, and the next part is done. Like the first night it went out, there was maybe one block in like a 6 mile radius, only one block that had light.
Mm-hmm.
So, and luckily, that block had a gas station and two grocery stores, like small grocery stores, bodegas. Business.
That block was packed that night.
Oh, hell yeah. They sold the most egg sandwiches that they were ever going to do. I think those 2 days probably made up for a month for them. But, you know, first thing you see when you come out is just like just about every tree is down. I mean, except for like the real huge ones. Those are the only ones that withstand the hurricane. The rest of them, tipped. I mean, breaking the concrete. Concrete, like, looking like a ramp.
Mm. You know, do you feel we was, what? You know, New York wasn't ready built for this type of weather? Do you think New York State, New Jersey?
Well, nah. I mean, especially when you consider the rail system. I mean, that's not designed to, they don't, it's not a real, you think about all the stations where water can go down. Like, there's no, like, shutoff. You know, like, there's no big metal gate that'll come down and just totally shut anything out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, the water is free to just kind of go wherever. So, yeah, I mean, New York is pretty ill-prepared, and then especially when you talk about Lower Manhattan, because, you know, Lower Manhattan, what the Wall Street area is landfill. So that easily can get sunk, which is why it got so heavily flooded, because it's like right on the sea level. It's not even natural land. You know, it's landfill.
You feel that Lower Manhattan is kind of like built for, if you think about it, in a sense of history, Lower Manhattan is built for a disaster to happen to it between terrorists. If a terrorist thing happened to it like it happened, you've seen a disaster that it can cause in 9/11. Now, a natural cause disaster happened, and it just seems like the lower part of Manhattan is just the most very vulnerable part of New York State, you know?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you just consider, you know, it's an island, and then when you go toward Wall Street area, that's like the shortest tip, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in Midtown, you got like 12 avenues separating, the Hudson from East River?
East River, yeah.
Yeah, they're separated by a couple of miles. But when you get down in the Wall Street area, it's like two blocks. And once you hit Water Street, they meet.
Yeah. Yep. I'm surprised you didn't hear too much about the ferries, like, getting really damaged.
Yeah. I don't know.
Staten Island got hit, but I didn't hear too much about the ferries getting damaged.
Yeah.
Do you see any areas you at that need FEMA?
I don't know if it's, well, I mean, it could get there because there's still people without light. I mean, even just a few blocks over from me, there's still people with no light. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a couple of friends out here. You know, one friend, we're pretty much stocking their groceries. Like, you know, she got three kids, one is only like 1 year old, you know what I mean? So, you know, we stocked the refrigerator. You know, we took all that stuff and put it in the refrigerator because, you know, by now, all this stuff probably would have been spoiled.
It's spoiled, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got another friend. He has a 3-year-old. You know, I told him, I'm like, look, you know, come up here. If anything,
yeah,
you know, you got a place, you know what I'm saying? But you know how it is, man. I think most people are the same. You don't really want to come off as an imposition, you know? Like, when my lights were out, I had to go to a friend's house, you know, take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like an imposition. Like, I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Asking, I felt uncomfortable when I got there, like, you know? And it's not even an ego thing. It's just, you don't want to feel like you're in any way burdening anybody. And some people need to know, especially when they got a child, they need to, hopefully they put all that aside and take the help because the kid needs it, you know?
You know, when tragedy comes, Americans come together, especially in New Yorkers. You know, New Yorkers, you know, ever since 9/11 made us more stronger than we could ever be, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I think even though this tragedy is a lot more that we have to build because there's a lot more damage, But I think we're going to overcome it just great, you know. It's just sad that people died, and actually a lot of people died from this storm when you kind of count it up.
Yeah, I say I wish those people, the people who lost their lives who had the opportunity to leave, I wish they would have left. Because, you know, especially, you know, I mean, with New Yorkers, we can be arrogant in a sense that because a lot of threats were issued over the years and it didn't happen the way the media described it, we start taking it for granted and saying, oh, you know, nothing's going to happen.
Did they say people that died because they didn't want to be evacuated?
Yeah, they didn't leave. They didn't get out. And that, you know, that cost them their lives because they didn't take it serious enough. They figured they could weather it. You know, they'll beat the storm. You know, some people, their belongings, but, you know, I can understand. You know, you have your belongings, you know, life possessions, sentimental items, but, you know, it's one of two things. Either you lose your possessions and your life, or you keep those possessions in your memory and you live on. You know, some people try so hard to protect these material things. You can't put your life in front of no material thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there were a few people that did that. You know, they were trying to protect the property they brought, you know. Oh, I purchased this house, I'm going to protect the house. But how much can you do against the elements of nature? You know, and yeah, it was a small storm, but I think some people need to put it in perspective. Yeah, it was a Category 1. I don't even think they really call it a hurricane anymore. They call it a superstorm. But what they don't realize is, like you said earlier about preparation, when you take places like Jamaica that get Category 5s and better, they, because of that experience, because it happens so often, you know, their houses are built to withstand, you know, the force of these winds, you know. So they're better prepared. So, yeah, we can't handle a superstorm because the city is not designed to handle a superstorm.
Now, I want to talk to you about something else on another topic. This part of the hip-hop news. We got some former hot trends that only losers still do, and I want to get your opinion on them, okay?
Oh.
Showing your drawers. Yeah, sagging was something dumb that brothers did in the 90s. Now it's time to pull your pants up, they say. What you feel about that?
Man, I'm more than agree, especially since these dudes are not only showing their underwear, like now they got like booty hugger jeans, like stretch jeans, like it looks ridiculous, man. This is a matter of like self respect. Like, how respectful is it walking around showing your drawers? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
Back in the day, that was like for the before it became the 90s trend. It was like, you know, heavy set dudes who just pants wasn't really fitting them right, so they draw a show and shit.
Now, this one I definitely don't like. Skinny jeans.
Oh, yeah, definitely not, man. Male yeast infections, man. All over.
You said male yeast infection. I don't even know how skinny jeans even came into the play.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But let me tell you what's crazier. And this comedian said it one time. I'll never forget it. He's like, yo, how much of a man do you come off that you got to lay on your back and hike your legs in the air to kick your jeans off?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just pull them off. They all over your ankle. You got to, like, jump in them. And it was crazier they wear them tight and low. That don't make sense to me. You know, some trends. We look back. We had some silly trends, man. But I don't think we held on to them as many years as this current fashion is going. It's going too long, man. For us, it'd be a couple of years. Flat tops was what? 85 to what? By 90, everybody was cutting them off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, by 90. Yeah, like 90. From 80. Yeah, like 86, I say, to like 92, 93. Because people still had them like 92. Then dreads started coming in, remember?
Yeah.
Like 90. The dreads came in hard, like 90.
Yeah,
guys
so
was going to jail and they was coming home with dreads.
So,
they used to go
yeah.
to jail and come home with waves, then they go to jail now and come home with dreads. The colors, all the bright colors, you know, they kind of say you're not cool enough to be the Dipset. You know how the Dipset used to rock a lot of colors. You know, a lot of guys. What'd you feel?
I got that one.
Go ahead. A lot of guys used to rock a lot of hot, you know, a lot of crazy colors. Matt, you know, when it, you know how dudes be having a jacket that be crazy colors and the pants that be crazy colors. What do you feel about that?
Well, this is the problem I have with it now. They threw matching out of the window. Like, these are like, you know, 3-year-old child's coloring book outfits. Like, it don't match. Like, they'd be putting the weirdest combinations together, the weirdest styles. Like, the women, oh.
Yeah,
the
women are crazy nowadays.
They're looking horrible, man. Like,
you
know, horrible.
You know, I actually told my stepdaughter that one day. I was looking at her belt. And I was like, that belt don't go with nothing you got on. But she, in her mind, you know, the young kid's mind is like, it matched to them, you know what I'm saying? And they don't see nothing wrong with it, and they live in their own world. Like, none of them will see nothing wrong with it. They
yeah.
all come out with mad different colors on and mad different stuff, you know, and like, it's crazy. You'll see a dude with a goose-down jacket, but some shorts with some long socks, with some oversized basketball shorts.
Exactly.
And you're trying to understand that why you got a goose down on if you was going to wear shorts.
I know the cause of it, man. So you're not a gamer. I'm a gamer. So I know the cause of it, man. It's video game.
That's how they dress?
No, because this is what it is. Like, the newer game, Grand Theft Auto, and The Sims. Like,
uh-huh.
you can dress your character. But you could put whatever you want on them, however you want. And sometimes these people, especially they were designing their avatars for online play, since everyone has access to the same clothing, to try and make it unique, they dress their character crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, people walking down the street like that. So I blame video games.
Wow. I never knew that. I'm definitely not a gamer. We're gonna get back into the grills. The community is full of abandoned gold teeth that nobody wants anymore. What you feel about the gold grills?
Well, I never liked them, man. I did have a gold cap back in the days with a little script K on it. But I only wore it maybe 3 months, and then I was done with gold teeth. But this whole thing with the gold all the way across the mouth, I never got into that, man. And you're right. That's a trend that came and went and came back quick. Because you think about it, RZA and them, remember when they was rocking the fronts with
uh-huh.
the fang?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So,
in the Joski Love Pee Wee Herman days, a lot of people had gold teeth back then too, with the big earrings.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To do the Pee Wee Herman and do the Fila. A lot of the, okay, I'm gonna be real with you. A lot of the Brooklyn and Queens rappers had that.
Oh yeah, Brooklyn was the epitome of gold teeth.
Yep, I mean, yep, Brooklyn dudes. was rocking gold teeth before a lot, before anybody. In the beginning stages of hip hop, that was their look right there.
Gold teeth.
You remember that, right?
Gold teeth and tea bombs.
Just go and say, "Yo, we're gonna go to Fulton Street and get some gold teeth."
And then some of them got
a whole bunch of gold fronts.
And some of them got metal caps and they rotted their teeth out.
Yeah, man. Dudes was getting beat up for them gold teeth in school. The little tin, you go pawn it, right? Now check it out. It take you a week, you go do the thing. Take you a little week to get the gold tooth. You pay about $200 to $300 back then, right, for the gold tooth. You get in a bad way, you need to pawn the gold tooth. The gold tooth only gets you about $50, $60. <With that.
laughs>
But you know, with the gold fronts, rather, because the tooth you couldn't really took out. If you had the real tooth, only the old man had the real tooth, like that one tooth.
Yeah.
If you're an old man, he died with that one tooth in his mouth. You know that. Another thing is big ass rims on your car.
Yeah, I think that's a plague trend. Especially if you got a real nice vehicle, man.
If you got a real nice vehicle, it's better to have the factory rims on there.
Exactly.
You know, and guys don't know, you put all of them 20-inch rims and 30-inch rims and big-time rims, you depreciate your car even more.
Yeah, the value goes down. Well, I think, when I threw my arms in the air, I saw a family van, and it stopped at the light, and the rims kept spinning. I had enough.
Well, I actually seen that on I forget, the car was so small. It was a small like old school Sinatra or something.
And then you look close, it's the plastic rims that you just pop on. It's like caps. They ain't even rims. They're like three little caps. It's like those, remember those fans back in the day? It was like candy in it, and then you can blow the fan.
Yeah. You could buy, and you know it's so funny, they got these funny-looking stores where you could buy, you know, like a car mat, or you could buy, like, some armor, but then they'll have some fake spinning rims on there. They don't have nothing else for no other than just the fake spinning rims in the hood. Now, cornrows. What you feel about cornrows?
Oh, man, look, man. Cornrows and them crazy designs of cornrows, they were cool for a minute, but now it got to stop, man. Some of these people who were always rocking those braids and now their hair is receding, and they still trying to hold on to design cornrows. They got to give it up, man.
Got to give it up.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. That style got tired real fast, man.
You know what's funny? When you see a dude that you know all his hair done fell out in the front, he still got a little bit cornrow. I hate to say, I won't shout nobody out, but one of them legendary rappers took it forever to finally say, let me cut my hair and get a Caesar. Yeah, the cornrow. It's a couple of guys you can say. They kind of look alike, too. Who do you think? I want you to guess.
Nah, I'm not going to say it, man. I'm not going to go with the legends, man.
All right. Well, I was just going to let you know one of them is Break It Down. All right. Let's go to Stop Tricking on MySpace. Nobody goes there no more.
Oh, yeah. MySpace. Woo, man.
Who goes to MySpace?
They're selling their face hard, man.
Yeah, they losing a lot of money.
You know? Really, you knew it was over when they said you could log in to MySpace through Facebook. That's when you know the white flag was thrown up, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, I don't really understand this one because, you know, they were saying tall tees, you know, the long T-shirts that fit like kilts.
Oh, boy.
You know, like the Ireland kilts.
The dude still rock that?
Well, we talking about fads that go out. I haven't seen, well, you know, maybe down south. I've seen brothers down south, not in New York like that. We get New York, we get T-shirts that actually fit.
Yeah.
Dudes are actually wearing, and no lie, New York brothers is actually buying just right nowadays. That's the new look.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about diamonds and bling bling no more.
Yeah, as long as you're not calling it bling bling.
Yeah. Not nowadays, actually, a small chain, a small hot chain is more fatter than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more universal. Like you can rock it with different things. Like, you know, you get the gaudy jewelry, you can only rock it a certain way. You know, you're not going to a formal dinner or semi-formal dinner with no big-ass diamond chain, you know what I'm saying?
Now, you know, do rags and pajama pants.
Oh, boy.
So, let's talk about that. Do rags and pajama pants.
You got brothers who, their hairstyle doesn't even require a do rag. Like, if you got.
You right, though.
He's rocking do-rags. I'm like, yo, you got a bald head. Like, what the heck are you doing with a do-rag? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or afro. They mat down a little afro. The braids, I understand. They don't want it to frizz up. Yeah. But still, I thought do-rags were to get waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. Waves. But yeah, you be seeing dudes, they be having like a little short afro with a do-rag on, right? See, you know what the funny part about, see, in the early days, you know it would be different because, you know, in the 80s, man, if you had a do-rag or a kufi on, you might have to fight.
Uh-huh.
You know? Might meant you thought you was too hard to be walking with a do-rag, you know? dudes now just matching do-rags to go with their outfit. But back in the days, you have a do-rag, and the dude was like, yo, what's up? And you got your little shades on, you looking a little hard.
Yeah.
You better know how to fight.
Pajama pants need to be worn in the house.
Girls wear it all the time.
Yeah,
girls,
it looks horrible, man.
Huh?
It looks horrible. It just looks like the person, like, you know, I don't care.
So you said you have never seen one girl who looked fantastic in her pajama pants run into the store.
I don't know if I can say that, man. I mean, yeah, it get a little jiggle, but that's better than sweatpants.
Yeah.
So they can keep the sweatpants and leave the pajamas at home.
You know, this they wear sweatpants almost every single day. That's to come out and go to the store and then change.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they wear that till they go to the store, they go here, then when they go upstairs, they take their towels. Do you think girls take longer showers than men?
I think so. Yeah, it depends on what they're trying to do, especially if they're trying to fix their hair. You know, they got to wrap their hair before they can take a shower.
Yeah, you're right.
But
we up in the building, Beef Stew Radio. We've been talking for a long time. We in the building with the man from upstairs, the Kizzy, the Kappa. You know what I'm saying? We got to get into a little bit of music now. It's the Underground Showcase. Actually, we got my man in the building. My man War Child is in the building. What's good, family?
Big Stu, what's good, man? Sorry I'm late, my nigga. I was in the streets. My phone had died on me. Had to get to the crib and plug it in and jump on.
Ah, don't worry about it, man. We glad you here, man. We got my co-host with me, the Kappa, in the building today. Kappa, this
what's
is
good,
War Child.
What up, man?
So, fam, man, I see you got a new hot joint coming out, man.
Yeah, hot man, shit is crazy, man. The mixtape with K-Slay was supposed to drop Halloween, but, you know, Hurricane Sandy came and tore shit up, so
yeah,
we might have to release it in December because, you know, K-Slay got a lot of shit going on right now. So yeah. I apologize to everybody about the release date, but that joint stuff is definitely going to be coming soon.
So what's now this joint right here? What's the difference from this joint and the last joint you had?
This single right here, man. You know, I started thinking about radio. I'm like, damn, you know, I'll be doing this underground shit so hard. You know, I gotta put something out there that could try to commercially cross over, but still be myself and still keep it all the way 100. So I made the joint. I hit up Slim for 112, and he was filling the joint. So he went in there booth and killed it. And, you know, it's basically for the ladies, but it's for the niggas, too. It's basically, you know, explaining to the chicks, like, you know, when your man is grinding and trying to get that paper, you know, he got to kind of put you second in a way because, you know, he got to get out here and do what he got to do. And sometimes chicks don't understand that, but they don't understand when you broke either. So I try to make a song to explain how niggas feel about that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And how was it working with Slim, man, doing that joint?
Yo, man, he a dope dude, man. I mean, I was honored to work with him. You know, I sold Platinum Records. And, you know, he real easy to work with, man. And, you know, he liked the record a lot, so he excited about it. So I got to push it real hard. We've been getting good feedback on it. I mean, the Source magazine said, you know, the single was dope, and me and K-Slay mixtape going to be one of the hottest mixtapes of the year. So I was honored to even have the Source magazine to, you know, give me that honorable mention right there.
Yeah, I seen that, man. I seen they gave you that shout like that, man. So
yeah,
what's the name of the new joint, the mixtape? Tell the people the name.
The name of the mixtape, so this name is called The Streets Is Back. You know, we got my man Capone on there from CNN, Capone QB, Billy Dance and M.O.P. We got the hot single, The Streets Is Back, with me, Capone, and Billy Dance. We got the Straight Stuntin' joint representing for K-Slay Magazine, Straight Stuntin'. Me featuring Jackie O, that's another anthem on the joint. It's a banger. We got the cat, Mr. F.A.B. from the West Coast on there. We got, who else? I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. We got a few more cats, you know what I mean? I'm trying to still, now that the date pushed back, man, I'm keeping my fingers crossed when I'm trying to get the Ghost on there, Styles P. Me and K-Slay talked about that, so I don't know if it's going to happen with the short amount of time, but I'm working on that. So, I mean, I think niggas from the era we from and cats that love that raw shit and not all this, you know, watered-down sprinkle shit, no disrespect, but I think niggas going to feel that shit from the era we from, trying to bring that shit back strong and let these young cats know what that shit is really about.
Yeah, I feel that, man, because I listened to that new joint, man. I definitely feel it. It's definitely smooth. I was definitely vibing to it in the car. How did you get into it? How did you come up with the title and the song, The Honeymoon?
You know what I mean? I kind of felt like, you know, it's a point that every nigga comes to in his life when he about to cross that crossroad and it ain't no turning back. And no matter what you're doing, you come to a point in your life where you reach a crossroad when you know you like, damn, I can't turn back around. I done came too far down the street. I'm down too far down the block to go back up the block, up the hill. So I made it thinking about, you know, this point of the industry that I'm at. You know, I never really got respect in the industry. They always told me, you need more of this, you need more of that, you lacking that, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to get the internet popping. You know, all the shit they tell indie artists that's grinding, you know, what you got to do to be successful in the industry. And I felt like, you know what, I've been grinding so hard that they can't deny me now. And I felt like, you know, I felt like one night I was like, man, this is the honeymoon right here, because it's like, you know, I'm married to this grind, and tonight I can't turn back. Once the Source magazine and, you know, XXL and all these people start showing me love, I felt like, you know what, it ain't no turning back from this day. I either got to go all the way in. So that's why I came up with the concept of the honeymoon at.
All right. So on that note, we're going to get into this joint. Got my man War Child in the building. He definitely here. He made it here. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate that.
B Stu, baby. You can't miss B Stu Radio, baby. It's straight raw, straight gutter. Big Stu, man. My nigga, man. I appreciate you all the time, homie.
I appreciate you too, homie. You be definitely be lacing us with that fire, man. We're going to get into this joint right here. Like I told y'all, it's hot. Y'all know when I say something, it's hot, it's hot. Like he said, it's for the ladies. But brothers, y'all going to definitely want to bump this in y'all joints too. Let's get into it, the honeymoon. Beef Stew Radio, War Child. Let's do it.
Because of my second spouse, I'm married to the game, gave it my last name. The ups and the downs, the delights and the fame. I marry her to support you. For better or worse, you want divorce too. No lady wants to be the other woman. Even if your bank accounts like Cuba Gooden, I respect you, that's where I get my respect from. So girl, just respect where I get my checks from. But have no regrets when I'm walking down that aisle. To take my vows to ghetto matrimony. For better or worse, you can depend on your homie. With this ring is a circle of trust. I promise to keep it G forever, that's a must. From first to the cup, GT coupe from the bus. Of course we gon' make it, all we gotta do. Forever we gon' ride, I promise to never leave you lonely. For better or worse, you ghetto matrimony.
Definitely a good explanation and a breakdown for that song, man.
Yeah. So you find a lot of ladies is on you after this song right here, bro?
I mean, honestly, man, you know, I got a wife, man. I've been riding for a nigga strong, man. Like when I was like homeless on the street, I ain't had nowhere to go. She
That's
still believed in the nigga. You know what I mean? Our first day, she took me out to eat because I was broke. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? I don't really got no ladies hollering at me like that. I really kind of made the song for her because, you know, sometimes she don't understand the grind, but she do. So, I mean, as far as the ladies go, I would say nah, but, you know, I had to give it to them some kind of way just because I really made it for the homies, man. That joint really for the homies. So they, you know, they ain't got to say nothing. You riding in the car with your chick, and she like, in your ear, you always busy. You did in that. You just turn the song on. Like, man, shut up and listen. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel that, though, because, you know, it's real. A lot of us got girls that been with us through, you know, thick and thin, and I respect that. You know, that you even put that out there like that. Because a lot of dudes that be rapping and be in the limelight, they won't even put that out there like that. And that's real that you could even do that, you know?
Yeah, man, that's what's wrong with the game, Stu. I mean, niggas is, they just be fraught nowadays, man. And I think sometimes I hate the industry now because it's so watered down. Like, when we was coming up, man, shit was so raw. Like, you felt it. You know, when Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang, you know, the Lox, you know, Mike Geronimo, you know, OC, MOP, Gangsta. When niggas dropped the records, man, you wanted to go and cop that joint because you felt it. Like, man, I can't wait till this. We used to wait for albums to drop, man. I can't wait till Moment of Truth come out. I can't wait to hear Freddie Fox new verse, this, that, and third. Man, nowadays, man, it's kind of like I don't even want to hear some of this shit that's going on because it just make my heart hurt. Like, man, is niggas really getting a pass on this? Like, for real, man. It ain't the same, man. I know, you know, they like, oh, you got to realize music is an evolution and it changes. Yeah, but hip-hop is always evolving, but when the hell did it get so watered down that it's like, they treat us like a laughing show. Like, these rappers and the way they do it and all that, man, I ain't disrespecting nobody. I respect any black man getting any money, but it's like, come on, fellas, y'all got to tighten up.
I think we killed ourselves when we became ringtones. You know, it
seemed
like
the
ringtone set gave it a whole different thing where you didn't really have to have no lyrical content. You just had to have something that could be made into a ringtone, you know?
Yeah, something catchy from your phone ring. Yeah, man. It's a lot of different variables, man. Like, Jay-Z really took hip-hop with the game. Like, I was listening to y'all talking about Ice. Like, niggas really don't care about that anymore. Like, I give it to Hov. Hov took it there when he took it to the Platinum and the Stones and the Iceberg and all that. Like, you know, he did that. But one thing I'll say about Hov, he did it in a way where it was still kind of hip-hop. You know what I mean? It was still, he still brought that BK essence to it. It was like, you know, he a hustler. He getting that guap. Now it's like, man, these dudes is, you know, they just, it's like a clown show, man.
Yeah, Hov kept it cunning, basically. He still kept the lyrical skill,
right?
Like these dudes now, they saying stuff that don't even rhyme. Some dudes, man, they not even rhyme.
Like, come on, man. and that's the thing. Like, I'm at the point where I feel like, man, niggas shouldn't even be allowed to come through certain neighborhoods and do a show with that shit because, right now, man, we in a state of hunger. Like, this is like our second hard recession. Niggas is starving. Niggas is hungry. I don't even see how niggas be getting to do shows and coming on shows with $100,000 worth of diamonds on their neck, and niggas is in the PJs looking for their next meal. Like, niggas better stop it, man. That's why I think niggas gonna love this mixtape I got, because I got a song on there called Dig Up In Your Pocket. And I think a lot of niggas, especially from NY, gonna like that record because it's getting back to that essence, man. Like, you couldn't walk through Brooklyn with a chain on back in the day, big or small. You know what I'm saying? Niggas was taking it from you because it's just like, look, man, this is a jungle. It's a jungle. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to bring that concrete jungle essence back because I think niggas forgot. And that's why shit is so crazy right now, because niggas need to be reminded, like, this shit ain't no joke. Hip-hop was never a joke.
Now, the question I want to ask you now is, like, you know how we talk about how hip-hop was back in the days. Now, you see how this political shit is going on right now. You know rappers a lot. We have not had no brother that's out there big time made any record that's dedicated to this political climate or dedicated to, you know, what, you know, how tight this race is with Mitt Romney and Barack Obama and what it could mean to us. Now, back in the days, we had self-destruction. We had, you know, don't can't trust us. Do you feel that, you know, that if that come, can somebody bring that back into hip-hop and also still be relevant in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think the only thing that's in a way that's affecting it is that, you know, as far as how big it can go, because I feel like, you know, white people will kind of try to shut it down right now because they feel like they're going to lie and say, oh, it's a touchy situation. But the truth is they don't want us making that kind of music anymore. That's why they got us like the way we are with the, you know, with the whole skateboarding shit and all that. Man, skateboarding is not a black part of the black culture or the hip-hop culture. No disrespect, I mean, niggas ride boards, niggas tag and all that, but it's like, you know, these niggas think the skateboarding shit is cool. I think they just gonna shut it down. I actually got a song that I made called Vote For Me For President, where I made it before Barack was even in office, and I've been thinking about releasing it. But I know, damn, how far the record's gonna go, people are gonna really get to hear it, because the outlets, they will shut it down. They're not gonna let it get far, man. These people gotta really got a hold on everything. And it's like, they don't want us putting that kind of music out there. They might kill you. For real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they might put a hit
on you, man, because that shit be going down. Niggas is getting hit. And they throw a black dude in jail like Max B or somebody like, oh, he did the murder. But really, it was the CIA. Like, shit crazy out here, man. Shit is deep.
And that's what's crazy, because back in the 90s, hip-hop exposed all that. Now it's like Illuminati got us so scared. It's like we don't know what to say on the mic.
Yeah, that's real shit, because if you got a family, you got kids, no nigga don't want to die for putting out a record. I mean, it's a gladiator sport, so you definitely taking that chance when you step into the hip-hop game and you going hard at it. But if you got kids, you like, damn, you know, I want to be around for my kids, but These dudes is something else, man. The whole Illuminati thing, man, it's kind of scary to me. Like, you know, I'm from up north, and I'm down here in Miami, and the stories that I be hearing down here, because I don't really hang out in Miami like that a lot, because there's a lot of weirdo shit going on. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, man, niggas is worshiping devils and up in the strip clubs, King of Diamonds making women say evil chants and shit like that, man. I'm not even going to say no names, but...
Wow.
Man, shit is deep, man. It'll really scare you when you think about it. Like, niggas is really selling their soul. And now it's to the point where they not scared to say it. They telling us in the record. And niggas are listening like, oh, yeah, the Illuminati. But they not really paying attention how deep that shit is, man. You got niggas selling their souls for fame. And they leaking that shit all out onto the kids. You know what I mean? And that shit ain't cool. It's not cool. And it's like, I don't see how these niggas is getting passes this long. I really don't.
Do you think it's going to be something that's going to change the game? Because, like, all right, or you're already seeing the gang thing, that's kind of changing, because if you're not really true to this gang culture, you can't really go any place now and perform. So do you feel the same thing is going to happen with this devil worshiping thing through the rappers?
I think what's going to happen is as far as the Illuminati shit and the devil worshiping and what's going on, I think, for us to take it back, it's going to have to be a one nation type of thing. It's going to have to be a thing where everybody come together and like, look, man, we're not having this shit no more. They can't kill us all. You know what I mean? It's going to have to come to that. That's the only way it can be changed, because the people that's doing it got too much power. They got too much money. And money is power. And they, you know, if you take a Rick Ross or, you know, a powerful figure like that, or Kanye West, they got so much bread, like, and they so connected in with these motherfuckers that, you know, if people don't stand up, they going to fall for it. And if everybody falling for it and masking it and like, oh, I don't really know this and that, and they letting it go over their head, we never going to ever get to a point where we can bring it back, because they niggas all got to stand up. It can't be four or five niggas on the front line. Everybody got to stand up. And I don't see it happening, because people... They letting it fly over their head, and they buying it, they playing it, they listening to it, they hearing it, but they ignoring it. And when they hear the truth in the music, they still ignoring it. And if people don't wake up fast, I don't think it's gonna ever go back.
I feel you, man. I feel the same way you feel, man. Like, I just think I don't see after they sell their soul, it just seems like to me, like a lot of rappers just don't make hits no more like they used to. I haven't heard a strong Jay-Z song in a while. I'm not saying Jay-Z sold his soul, but I'm just saying, like, have you heard, you know, Jay-Z having, I don't know if it's not because he's not hungry like he used to be, you know what I'm saying?
I think it was a nigga like Jay. I don't think Jay ever lost his hunger. That's why he still dropped records, because deep down in his soul, he fighting against something. Like, a lot of these cats, they get into it and realize that's not really what they wanted, but you, it's like a gang, and you can't come in and out the same of a revolving door, you know what I mean? It's blood in, blood out. So once these cats get into it, you see, man, you look at these artists, or somebody mama died all of a sudden, or their kid got killed in the house and all that, people be thinking that's a freak accident and shit, but no, that's a sacrifice. That's a blood sacrifice directly. You know, dudes be throwing shade like, well, maybe I want to get out of this. They will take somebody from you or something close to you just to do that to you. They ain't going to take you out. They going to get at your mama, your daughter, the closest thing to you that they know will affect you. They going to get at that because they know where to hit you hard at. You know, when Kanye's mom died, you know, people looked at it like his mom just passed, but I saw it deeper than that. You know, I saw it as, man. And then these niggas get right on the record and say it. I sold my soul to the devil. And it's kind of deep, and people just think it's like them just, you know, spitting some lyrics or whatever, but it's deeper content than that. It's real shit going on. Like, you can't get into the Illuminati then back out like, nah, I want to go to God. I want to chill. Like I think personally, like Mace, I think Mace saw a lot of shit, and when people are like, oh, Mace sold out, he went to the Lord. I don't even look at it like that. I think Mace just was like, yo, man, I'm not built for this. This shit right here is crazy. You know,
and it seems like a lot of dudes that be in the mix, the ones that be in the mix to get into the trouble, they definitely like Look a Shine, you know? Look a Loon, you know? And these all these dudes was seriously at one point in the mix with Bad Boy when Bad Boy was in at the highest level at you know, that it could be.
There's only a few cats that make it out. Like, sometimes I even think about it, like with Slim. You know, with Slim being down with Bad Boy and selling platinum records and all that, to where he is right now, sometimes I wonder, like, damn, how did you make it out? Because it ain't too many people can say that they made it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he one of the few. And it's kind of like, you know, I just be wondering that sometimes. Like, the Lox, they made it out, and it's kind of rare. But I think with the Lox, the way they got out was because they didn't sell enough units where they were that high on the radar. So when everybody was screaming, let the Lox go, you know, he probably felt like, well, they owe me this because they ain't moved this many units. I remember Puff saying that y'all niggas want condo and Benz money, but y'all only sold apartment and Honda Civic money. And I remember listening to Puff say that on Hot 97, and it made me think, like, damn, you know, the Lox is lucky that they didn't sell that many records just so they could get up out of that. And I granted that they real niggas. And they going to probably go out blazing anyway, but at the end of the day, it just makes you think, like, if they would have sold records like Biggie or Faith or, you know, or 112, would the Lox be where they are now? Or would they be a story we'd be talking about? Like, it's scary, man. It's so deep sometimes that they make you get chills up your spine, like, damn, like, shit is real crazy out here.
Yeah. Like, I always ask cats, man, what nowadays in this climate now, why do you want to be a rapper? Because between that, what you hear, the stories that you hear on that, and between the rap beef, it's not the same. It's like the lyrical skills and the fun is gone. Like, the more successful you be, the more problems you have in the game right now.
That's true. That's true, man. Like Big said it, more money, more problems. And niggas just think that was a cool song Big made. Like, yo, that's true what Big said. When you get more money, more problems. But that shit Big was saying was actually deeper than that. Big was trying to say, nigga, the deeper you get into this shit, the worse this shit is. You know what I'm saying? Because you seen Big. Big was one of the illest niggas from BK. And look at his life from a grimy, you know, corner nigga in BK hustling to on top of the world. But as soon as he got up there, shit went downhill for him because that shit is a deep-ass game. It's deep, man, and sometimes it's scary. That's why me, you know, like I ain't really trying to deal with majors and all that. You know, if I could, I'm cool with just, you know, dropping my little singles here and there, my mixtapes and doing shows. Like I don't want to be on that radar. I'm not trying to be the biggest summer artist for Flo Rida, you know, Pitbull type nigga, pop seller records. I want to be me. I want to be, if I got to describe it, I would say I would love to take the lane that the Locks did, because the Locks, you know, them niggas always going to be relevant because they real niggas that's really nice. They still get their show guap like Sean Price and them overseas right now. Freddie Fox overseas right now. I talked to Miss Parker the other day, and she was like, Freddie Fox overseas right now, because I was trying to get him on a record. And she like, he overseas right now. He's still getting it. Sean Price overseas, he getting it. I'd rather go that route. Send me overseas and leave me the fuck alone with all that weirdo shit, man. Like, for real, man.
I hear you, man.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy, man. Like, you know, I just don't get it. Like, I don't want no Live Nation shows. I don't want no white man walking up to me in a trench coat after the show like, can we talk to you? No, you can't talk to me, nigga. I'm trying. No, I'm leaving. Ain't nothing to talk about. Yo, niggas be getting, they put the clamp down on niggas, man. You see it happening niggas every day. Like, and if you don't, look at all the niggas going to jail. If you think about it, like, Beanie Sigel is a perfect example. Everybody like, oh, Beanie Sigel's just a wild street nigga. I've been around Beans. This nigga is a thorough nigga. He came to my mixtape release party. He showed me love, man. You know, he a good dude. He a street nigga, but he a good dude. And I feel like it's certain niggas like Beans, like, he didn't want to go that route. And look what happens to him. He always in jail. You know what I mean? He can't stay out the system. You know what I mean? Then you got niggas like Meek or different cats, you know, and niggas be wondering, like, how you beat that case or how that happened? What did niggas have to give up for that?
Well, a lot of people wonder about T.I.
Man, I perfect example. Like, nigga, you have more guns than the U.S. Army. Like, how you get out of it? Now, everybody want to say money. You know, I believe money got a big part to do with it. They hit him in his pocket because the system is all about money. But what else did he have to give up for that, though? You know what I mean? And then, when you think
then he
about
got caught
that,
right back after that.
Come on, right back after that. And he back on the street right now on TV. And no disrespect to T.I. I love T.I, man.
Yeah, I love
T.I.
But you know, just
it's
that we just talked
about.
It is
what it is. And we know what it is, though. That's the thing. Like, people know what it is. But I feel like they just choose to ignore the fact. You know what I'm saying? It's like the blind says of a million pairs of eyes type shit, man. Niggas don't want to pay attention. They just letting shit ride. But I feel bad for my brothers, man. I feel bad for, you know, when I read Nas' Letter to Def Jam, man. It makes you think, like, Nas is one of the nicest MCs of all time. Why the hell is he still got to struggle and fight against the labels for shit? Like, they just need to fall back and let him do what he do. You know what I mean? He know what he's doing. I mean, he's a seasoned vet. And when you got to see Nas write letters to Def Jam or 50 going through, you know, shit with Interscope or this and this and that, it just makes you think, man. It's like, there's no end point to this shit. The shit don't stop. It only get worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I always wonder what happened to Rakim. Like, why never Rakim could never get off, no matter what producer he was with. You know, they always had a bigger, you know, the Rakim album, but it never seemed to got off, man.
Yeah, you know, they kind of blackballed Rakim. Niggas like KRS-One, they tried to blackball Chris, you know. Mm-hmm. But niggas like KRS-One, my cousin did a show with KRS-One last year, actually, and up in New York. And, you know, when you look at niggas like Rakim and KRS and Lil Finesse, I mean, come on, man. I used to think Lil Finesse was the best thing touching the mic. That nigga was just so catchy with it. It was like, damn, Lil Finesse, like, you used to hang on the words what he was going to say, or Big L. And when you think about it, man, it's like, we could blame it on the era and say, well, you know, music worked a different way then, but these cats never really got the just due that they deserved, because they're not going to let that get too far. Like, sometimes I wonder how the Wu-Tang got as far as they did. And they 5% is for real. You know what I mean? Like, how did they get that far? Sometimes I wonder, how did the Wu get that far? Because them crackers definitely want to hear what they was talking about. But crackers love them the most. I think that's what it comes down to. If the white people accept you, then it's all about how you, you know, portray yourself to the white people. But the people that straight up against that shit, you know, like Chuck D and, you know, like Flav. He did the reality show. You know, now I guess they don't take Flav that serious. They oh, he's a funny guy. He can a reality show is perfect. He'll draw a crowd. You'll never see Chuck D do a reality show. And if he do it, will never be no shit like that. It'll be some shit and crackers will never air on TV. Like, oh, we can't put this shit out. You know what I'm saying? This shit is that real.
No doubt. So, man, when should we expect, like you said, maybe next month we should expect the full mixtape out?
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to give Slay, you know, a minute to get himself together, you know, because I know y'all got hit hard up there, man. I'm praying for all y'all families, and everybody in y'all families, and
look,
everybody
man.
Is good, you know.
Yeah, me and Kay is in the same neighborhood, so, yeah, we got to, like, you know, he's just, like, about 4 blocks away from me. We come about 4 or 5 blocks away from each other, man. Real talk.
Yeah, man, I haven't even been trying to stress Slay about it because, you know, he already a busy-ass nigga, but... I know right now that storm shit crazy. I know a lot of y'all still ain't got power. Shit's crazy, man. We hoping the mixtape drop, you know, either this sometime this month, but we really looking at about December 15th to really let people know about it because the mixtape going to be real dope, man. I mean, just having Billy Dance and Capone on the same track, you know, one artist from CNN and one artist from MOP, man, with me, man, like these cats that I really look up to. You know,
I was going to ask you about that. Like, you know, you got legends, underground legends on there. You know, it's the Underground Showcase. Billy Gans, definitely, you know, both of them. Capone, you know, the classic Capone and Noriega album that was everybody know about. And then Billy Gans, M.O.P. Now, you know, that puts you in a lane with some legends, man. So, you know, your mixtape is highly rated right now. How you feel about that?
Man, I'm honored, man, because, I mean, I look up to Dance and Pone, man. I mean, like, you know, Pone, that's my big brother, that's my nigga, man. You know, I sat down and ate dinner with his wife and kids with his family. Like, that nigga blood to me. You know, my little brother died, you know, back in July.
Oh, yeah, that, bro.
And, yeah, man, I appreciate it. You know, and I was just sitting there, man, you know, and I just looked up and I just seen Pone hop out of his jack, like, what's good, my nigga? You know I'm here with you. And that feeling right there was something I can't explain because it's like, yo, this poem, man, you know, this is the world for this poem. This nigga was in Philly with me at my family house, you know, drinking with us, you know, celebrating after the funeral. You know what I mean? Like, it's just my nigga, man. Like, I fuck with poem on a whole nother level. And Billy Dance, he like a mentor to me. Like, you know, he really talked to me about the industry and things I don't want to do, things I should do, things to look out for. Like, these niggas really talk to me. Even Slay, you know, when I talk to Slay, he talked to me, man, and teach me shit, man. And that's even deeper to me than the music, to have these niggas who could do anything else with their time, take just a moment out of their life to sit down and talk to me. Man, I'm just so honored by that, man. Like, I think niggas going to be able to hear that in the music, how excited I was just to be fucking with real niggas like that, man.
That's what's up, man. Well, man, I want to thank you as always. You know, you always got a home here, bro. I always tell you that, man. You got a home here. You know, when you drop that joint, you're gonna come back and we're gonna do it again.
Definitely, man. Definitely, Stu, man. I want to get back with you actually a night before we drop the joint, man. Just send you the joint and you just do the exclusives and play the records for the rest of the niggas even hear that shit straight on Beef Stu Radio.
Already, baby. You already said it. Already. So, yo, I'm on that note, man, I want to drop that single again because, like I said, I'm feeling it, man. I'm going to play it one more time, man.
No doubt, my nigga.
All right? My dude, man, you stay up, man. Like I said,
you
stay
too,
in touch,
bro.
Man. And we
no
gonna
doubt,
keep,
I'll be back, man. I'll be back ASAP.
All right, and we're going to get back into this the honeymoon again, featuring Slim from 112. This my man, War Child. Joint is hot. Source Magazine, all the magazines saying the streets is back. Y'all better get out there. Streets is back. Y'all better get out there because the joint is fire. And like my man said, you're going to hear it on Beef Stu Radio first, son.
Yes,
that's how we do it. Let's
no
get it.
No doubt.
Explaining the dude. let me explain. Last night I eloped and got married to the game. It's the honeymoon, and baby, I can't stop. Out grinding, getting that damn guap. I know it hurts, I don't put you first. But you love when I throw stacks in your movie purse. No apartment, guys, we shopping for a house. And all this because of my second spouse. I'm married to the game, gave it my last name. The ups and the downs, the lights and the fame. I marry her to support you. For better or worse, you want divorce too. No lady wants to be the other woman. Even if your bank accounts like Cuba Gooden. I respect you, that's where I get my respect from. So girl, just respect where I get my checks from. For a long time, when we met, you fell in love with my grind. The streets is all I know. Black Wall Street, black collar, getting that dough. Late night, standing on the strip, putting in work to make sure the work flips.
That's right.
Yeah, I live a dangerous lifestyle, but have no regrets when I'm walking down that aisle. You take my vows to get on matrimony. For better or worse, you can depend on your homie. With this ring is a circle of trust. I promise to keep it G forever, that's a must. From first to the cup, GT coupe from the bus. Of course we gon' make it, all we gotta do. Forever we gon' ride, I promise to never leave you lonely. For better or worse, you get on matrimony.
Down the street, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Reassurance, reassurance.
Yeah. Now it's deep, man. We going through mad stuff right now, Cap. We going through, we going through one of the worstest times, next to 9/11, right? You could say, in New York history, in our lifetime, at least.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, well, we lost. Man, I don't know, maybe more. Would you say we lost more money than we lost in the World Trade Center? Yeah, we did, right?
No.
Damage? Not lives, but damage, would you say?
Not sure, man. Because, like, are you counting it as far as the stock exchange, you know what I'm saying? Stock exchange was down, what? 2 days,
mm-hmm.
But 9/11, what was it like? It was at least a week. It might have been longer than that.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's millions and millions a day.
That counts. That do count. So, what you was thinking about some of the things the brother was saying?
Say what?
What you think some of the things my man War Child was saying? As
like
about the rap dudes, you know, like a lot of the soul selling. You know, you you know, you a dude that been around a lot of the greats. Now, do you feel like there's a lot of soul selling even more easier now than the what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, brothers wasn't selling their soul a lot. Remember when we was coming up, brothers wasn't like, they wasn't even wanting to, it was hard to get a brother to do a commercial song, you know what I mean? Some rappers.
Yeah. Well, this is what I think, man. You have to be kind of from a certain era to even realize that you're selling your soul anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people that came up, like, if you think about, you know, someone's a teenager, young, like, early 20s now, they basically grew up not even realizing that hip-hop didn't even exist at a time. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
So, to them, they've already seen the rappers doing commercials, the rappers on the video games, the rappers are selling products. So, I don't think they can define that line.
I am surprised that nobody ever really made the really true hip-hop movie. Like, you know, like how it really started and how it went from back then. Crush Groove was another, you know, Crush Groove was a classic. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't tell a true story. You know what I mean? It told maybe the story behind Run DMC.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm talking about like somebody made the real story that started from Kool Herc and how it spread it, and you know, and bring into a lot of the old crews, not documentary but movie, to show kids how it actually was. You know, so they can see, like, you could tell in a documentary, you could talk to them, but they just seeing photos and stuff. You know, a reenactment of how things was in the playground. I'm surprised somebody made a movie like that. And the smart person that make that movie gonna make a big bestseller. I should have shut up and wait till my movie to the situation got big.
Yeah, you might wanna.
Might wanna shut up right now. Right?
Yeah.
Pull the plug. Now, but you really need somebody like Grandmaster Cash. You know what I mean? Somebody like that can really pull the stories. Somebody like that really needs to do it.
Well, yeah.
They making money off of their tours. They were smart, man. I mean, they making money off the tours. They making money off of this and making money off of, like, bringing people to the community and taking them to the Bronx. Well, you dudes need to put that money together and make a true reenactment. But the thing is, a lot of dudes want to be, you know, the old school rappers, this is where they kill themselves at. They still be wanting to be the dude seeing themselves, you know? Even though they look at 90 and 95 years old, you know?
Uh-huh.
They be like, you know, it don't matter. I throw on some Adidas, little Kango, put on a little Pele jacket, like the little kid that the kids is wearing now, a couple of jeans and some ACGs. I'm still in it. You gotta let somebody else play you, son. Yeah, he did the smart thing and paid in full. You know what I mean? He did the smart thing and paid in full. Then you seen AZ at the end. He looking at the dudes, the rap dudes, and it's not even AZ. It's just he, you know, it's the dude. But he did the smart thing. He showed himself one time and paid in full. Like, boom, a quick glance, and you would have had to know that was the real AZ. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You didn't know. You didn't know nothing. You couldn't even hear it. Said the rappers are trying to be like us right now. You didn't even know that was the real AZ. So that I thought that was really slick with it. Now these guys here, they even though they look at 90, they trying to play themselves in 1980 something. You know what I'm saying? You see? He like, yo, son, but you still you can't move like you used to. If you look at the picture in 1980 something, he had a big afro. He don't have no hair no more.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I think happens with some of the old school rappers when they can make movies, man. Those dudes still want to act themselves. But getting back to the brothers with the cornrows, I got to get back to that one, Cap. I'm going to say it. Do you think Ice-T...
He held on to it for a while. He did.
It starts slicking away, though.
Yeah, it was leaving on his own. It was
leaving on his own. For a little while, you kept seeing Ice-T like, oh, snap. You know, all right, Ice is getting slick. The one from Cornrows. I mean, I knew it was gone because that's when your brother started making it slick, you know? When it gets slick, it starts thinning out. Melly Mel, yeah.
Yeah.
He fought it for a while. Mel was one of those dudes. Huh?
Yeah, he started looking like Predator. He had to, he had to let those go, man.
Yeah. And that's the messed up thing. Like, the old school dudes in the hood, they, you know, like the old crackhead dudes, they, you know, I know it's easier to keep your hair braided, man, but if your hairline is like, it's always the whole crackhead dude. You be like, yo, son, you got a Bobby Womack with, like, some cornrows in the back. Or a dude having little braids. Like, he got dreads. His whole top missing, but he just got dreads on the side of his head. You ever seen that? You know, the whole top is missing, but then they got dreads.
Yeah, I call that the shower curtain.
Shower curtain?
Yeah, shower curtain, man.
There's a lot of dudes with shower curtains. I used to work with a dude with a shower curtain. But I used to look at him like, yo, what's the purpose of that, man? The whole top head is bald. Like, that's what a dude really don't want to let. And dudes be serious about their joint. They be like, y'all got to go get my hair braided. Like, for real. What girl, you know, girls probably be mad at you. They probably charge you more to braid that. Or charge you full price. Be sitting there talking to their friends. This fool come over here to braid half a head.
Yeah, full braid.
I'm gonna put six cornrows in this nigga head. Nah. And then I'm gonna tell you the crazy part. This is even worse, man. When the white guy got the braids in his hair and his hair falling out. You ever see that?
I haven't seen that one, man.
What? You know, sometimes, you know, being the Lower East Side, you got the cool white guy that's like the hood, you know? That's like what they might consider white trash, somebody else. And he got cornrows, you know, cool as a bomb. His hair started falling out. So, you know, he's feeling even more than a brother because, you know, he got the slick hair. He got the braids the same way. Oh, my God, it looks funny.
Now, I've seen the traditional comb over. I haven't seen the braid, the receded braids on the white guys yet.
Yo, we should go in business. We should make a cornrow toupee. We get paid with a cornrow toupee.
Yeah, I think you got something there, man.
I don't think nobody would beat us out of business with a cornrow toupee, son. Uh-huh.
It'll be different styles, and we can name them like the Allen Iverson.
Word.
You know?
Yep. Good little LeBron James, the old LeBron. Then we can give you the Rick James. You know, Rick James, we put some beads in it. And now that's crazy. Why, dog, we dudes used to think they was hard with the beads and the braids, man.
Yeah, especially in the 90s, man. Dudes
wearing barrettes. Yo, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you a dude. I'm going to name one dude that was tough. Used to have some beads and barrettes in his braids. Had a lot of dudes under pressure. My man, Tretch.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nobody was saying nothing to Tretch about his beads and his braids, though.
Yeah, well, nobody calling him out. He come and fight. Say anything about his crew in the song, he come and fight.
Yeah, and one thing about knowing my nature, they had their hair braided nice, right? He knew that they came with the little bricks and the baseball bats. Everybody had their hair freshly cornrow braid. Except for Vinny. There's always one guy like, I ain't gonna get no braid. Now, You ever do the story of Onyx?
What? Before the cuts?
Yeah, before the balls. They had the high top fades and all that.
Yeah, with the highlights.
Do you think Onyx went out too fast? Cause I liked it, Onyx. They had some. I don't think it's they was always trying to say they was a fad, but I liked it, Onyx, man.
Yeah, well, they were the beginning of to me, they were the beginning of what became gangsta commercial.
Gangsta commercial rap, yep.
Yeah, they
had some with them.
Yeah, they started that, man, because that slam joint, that basically became a pop hit.
Yep. Yep. I think, who, in your eyes, who you consider to be the first? Some say N.W.A. Who would you say, to your eyes, who was the first gangster rapper in your eyes?
The first person that pops in my head is KRS, but I don't know if I think it was KRS, but he's the first one that pops in my head. You got that 9mm joint, then poetry, like the last line is, I'd rather point a pistol at your head and try to burst it. Like, there wasn't too many people going there.
But he never wanted to consider himself a gangster. But I understood Duke because, let me tell you something, boom, boom, my nine goes boom. You know, he had a lot of joints, KRS-One.
Yeah.
You know, Love's Gonna Get You. You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of joints that, he told a story and told some gangster shit in the story. You know what I mean? I agree with you.
Yeah.
But he never accepted the gangster rap thing, though, KRS.
Well, I mean, you look at, I think, had we not lost Skylar Rock?
Yeah, baby.
I think the next album would have been more like the first one.
Yeah.
I think he changed. I think his mission changed when that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it really would have to come from his mouth to really know, but it just seems that way. It just seemed like the direction changed. He still had the representation with the gun, but now he was more channeling Malcolm X as opposed to just channeling somebody rebellious,
Now, I'm going to tell you, to me, who had one of the first, very, very first underground hip-hop records that was real gangster, and I don't think they get props, the Ghetto Boys. When they had the whole crew. Remember that first, very first album when they had Mind of a Lunatic on it?
Yeah.
They
was before N.W.A., though? Before N.W.A.
They was around the same time as N.W.A. No, yeah, I think they was before N.W.A. They was around the same time. They both was around the same time. But Ghetto Boys didn't get the props like N.W.A. N.W.A. was going hard with it. They was getting more public with it. But Ghetto Boys was on the underground with them joints. But they had a bigger crew then, When they had the Ninth Ward Boy or the Fifth Ward Boys, whatever that was, they had a nice crew. They had some cats on there that you ain't hear after a while, then they broke it down to just them three. But if you go, I'm going to play the album for you one day, man. You're going to be like, they had the joint Bring It On and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that song.
And then they go, no, but on that is an album they have, and it's called Mind of a Lunatic. It was really underground. A lot of cats didn't get it. And I'm going to tell you something. Mob Style probably was really first, but they was a national. Mob Style probably was the first real official dudes. Cause Mob Style, N.W.A., and the Ghetto Boys, all those albums was out at the same time. But N.W.A., they blew up with it publicly with the help of the gang stuff kind of pushed them. You know what I mean? We didn't know about how boys was doing it in Texas at that time. Now there's a hood everywhere. But back then in them days, you wouldn't have known until Scarface and them brought it to you and showed you that, yeah, we got a hood too out here in Houston, Texas, You from New York or something, you think of Texas or you think of anything of Dallas, you thinking Cowboys and Indians. Until the Ghetto Boys and, you know, Rap-A-Lot Records, until them put that on the map. You know, hip-hop made you see a lot of different eras. And what we seen with the California dudes was they had the gangs. So at the time when the movie Colors and Ice-T, he was kind of really putting it down a little bit for out there, like one of the first dudes out there putting it down, which was kind of gangster rap too, but I think he was more, I don't really call Ice gangster rap too, because I think he was really more just giving people a vision of what was going on, you know what I mean? But being that he was a gangster, that's why they titled him a gangster rap. But when you listen to Ice songs, he more or less was letting you know what was going on in his community, you know?
Yeah.
Informing the world about, yeah, y'all just getting up on this gang stuff. He wasn't really gangster like, you know, he might have said some one song. He had one song that could be seen as the song he dedicated to the police. But other than that, he was really, him and KRS-One, I think they was like dudes who informed you on stuff a lot. I felt like that about them.
Yeah.
But Ghetto Boys, N.W.A., Mob Style, they was definitely awesome. They was definitely promoting. They was definitely promoting the rugged and raw stuff.
Yeah.
N.W.A. was the most cunning with it. You know the songs they did, but if you listen to N.W.A., their album is Funkadelic in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
From the melodies to the choruses, they just changed the words. They did a kind of, you know, in a way they did a mixtape, but an album, but they did a mixtape. Think about it. They remade a lot of people's records. They relayed most of Funkadelic and George Clinton music on a lot of the early N.W.A. stuff. They took the same melodies and changed the words, and, you know, Pushy Swallowed it or stuff like that. But when you listen to the George Clinton or the Parliament records, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think the second album was more Parliament, though. Not the first one, though. The first one was
Dr. Dre. He put a little Rufus Thomas in it too, with Express Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They had a few songs. They had a lot of James Brown in the first album.
Mm-hmm.
But James Brown was an everybody album back then.
Yeah,
it wasn't a person who didn't have a James Brown drum in their album.
You had to.
I wonder how much the James Brown estate is worth for hip hop alone. Just off of him being sampled.
Today he's the most heavily sampled.
To this day, right?
Yeah, still sampling. For commercials and stuff, it's still. You hear funky drummer. Matter of fact, when I heard his voice in movies, that's what threw me. If you go back and you listen to some of them old, those Schwarzenegger movies,
mm-hmm.
You can hear they use James Brown screams for certain explosions. So under the explosion, I'm
only
telling
you would know something like that. Yeah.
I know.
That's
Sam
a strange ear, though.
if
I want to
watch,
call you the man upstairs.
If you watch Raw Deal with Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's scenes when there's an explosion, that part when he goes, ow, like when he does that, right when the explosion happens, it's James Brown. And I know they didn't pay him for that. I should tell, so they got to pay. I know it's years from now, but there's no statute of limitations. But I know, man, yo, it was a couple of movies in that era that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in, and James Brown's voice was layered under sound effects.
Speaking of movies, man, I want to let y'all know I've been interviewing everybody this whole week, basically, from the East Side Story. Kappa Ashley has a role in the East Side Story, too, right?
Yeah, man.
And you want to elaborate on who you are in the East Side Story, or you want to?
Yeah, I play Undercover 5-0. You know,
how was that for you?
But I'm It was different, man. I mean, I tell you this, so I can't count how many people thought I was a cop in real life. as far back as I can remember, man, people always thought I was a cop or a lawyer. It's weird,
you
man.
Got that 21 Jump Street look. You do kind of got that look.
You know, I hang around certain dudes that I didn't know, man. They were leery, man. I'm like, yo, this dude might be 5'0", man. I don't know. So yeah, man. You know, I played the undercover, you know, undercover cop with some dirt, you know.
Okay, sounds interesting.
Know? Yeah, when I channel that character, Officer Griffin, I think about you know, he was that dude that got picked on. He became a cop. He got drunk with his power, you know, and that power corrupted him. So first he felt like it was he was doing good by kind of being a vigilante. It's like, okay, I'm gonna take advantage of these people, these types that took advantage of me. You know what I'm saying? So that's how he looks at it. Like, you know, it's like revenge. But then he got drunk with the power to the point where he became the bully and he don't even realize it. But he's too deep at that point. You know? So now at this point, he justifies what he does as vengeance. But it's really greed.
And how true is that? And I hate to say it, you know, I love the New York's finest, but there's a lot of guys out there like that.
You know, when you really look, I mean, they're human beings, man. Any human being, you give anybody too much power, there's automatic corruption. It's going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, no human is prepared for so much privilege. That's why most of the time when the power leans heavy on one side, you get corruption. Because they can't, you know, they can't. They can't handle it. You know, it gets good to them. You know, if you start giving praise, or if you get away with something, or they say, oh, that's all right, you know, don't worry about it. Or you go, okay, well, I'll just hold on to a little bit more of this, and I'll distribute a little bit less because last year they said it was okay. I could take a little more for myself. Then that becomes a privilege in their mind. So then the next year they take more. The year after that they take more. You know, this just goes across the board. This is government, law enforcement. You know, it just goes down the line. Anybody, you handle too much power. Kings and queens, that's why things went wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did it get to the point where people were beheading people? Like, okay, we'll behead this guy because, you know, they were drunk with power and privilege.
Yeah. And I'm glad they don't behead nobody now.
Yeah. Well, what?
I'm
kind of forgetting some of my history, but I know there was one country where after so many years they would behead the king and appoint somebody else.
That's crazy. I would bet the king had to change that law.
Yeah, right?
If you were the king that waited till you got beheaded, like, that is so dumb.
Yeah, man, like, you really had to be brave or stupid to go, okay, let me be king now. And you know, in a couple of years, they're going to kill you. But that was their way of keeping it from, it was almost like the presidency, except you lose your life instead of the election.
Yeah, you know, I know one or two brothers ran away. But they were like, oh, hey. Yeah, so yeah, next month is your time. You were thinking, remember that word? They're like, where's King Joppy? King Joppy's missing.
I'll be right back.
Got all his gold, he gone to another kingdom.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty sure It was about, it wasn't too many dumb ones that stood there and got beheaded. Somebody protested that.
Yeah, I wonder when it started. I gotta look that up. I remember
because what happened to the queen? She got beheaded too?
Yeah.
All at the same year?
Right
and
when it's their time to
go. Everybody?
That's the way they go. Well, I don't know about anyone below the queen. I don't know. But I know the king and queen were beheaded.
So, that's right.
You know, so that way, no, there was no absolute power by any one individual for an extended period of time. I don't remember how many years it was, but after a certain amount of years, you get beheaded, and then they put somebody else there.
Yeah, that's stupid. I ain't rocking with that.
But, Big Stu, I gotta go do a little bit of paperwork.
Yeah, man, we about ready to sign off anyway, man. Want to thank the Kappa for being on the show. Thank the War Child for being on the show. You know what I mean? Remember where you at. You on Beef Stew Radio tomorrow night. Kate Nicole, she in the building do what she do. We in here all day, all night. You got something to say before we go, Cap?
Everybody out there, be safe, man. Be safe in NY. And one more quick note, man. I was looking on Facebook, man. I see a lot of people who took this whole tragedy for granted. Like someone had a comment was it was a down tree, and then their comment was this is an aftermath. And I'm like, okay, you looking at your neighborhood and you looking at one tree and you think that's it. But a lot of people died. A lot of people lost their businesses who may not have enough money to rebuild it because they were small, they were independent businesses. You got people who lost their house and everything in it. They may have had their lives, but things that made up who they were is gone. So all you people that take it for granted, I just want to say don't take it for granted. Your life came on, be thankful. I'm thankful my life's only off for 24 hours. Some people's life's still off. They had to throw away everything, you know? So I want people to just keep things in perspective, man. Just because you didn't lose a whole lot don't mean that this wasn't something serious. I'll leave it on that note.
No doubt. My condolences to all the families that out there that struggled out there through this tragedy that we've gone through, and also those who lost loved ones. Once again, from the whole Beef Stew Radio family, we're giving our hearts out, man. We here. You know, we here, we here with you. Once again, Beef Stew Radio, we out. Holla.
Beef Stew Radio.